So, well, we're glad y'all here tonight. Got a good crowd. And I love that song she just played. I Then Shall Live. That's the name of it? I Then Shall Live?
That tune is used for about three different hymns, but they're all good.
I heard the Gaithers sing that song. Actually, Gloria Gaither wrote I Then Shall Live a few years ago. Well, quite a few years by now. But she was under conviction about, in lieu of salvation and all that Christ did for her, then how should she live her life? And if you look that up, I Then Shall Live by the Gaithers, and listen to the words of that song, wow. It'll hurt you. But anyway, good to be here tonight. And we were talking earlier, I had a few comments about my haircut. I didn't get a haircut, I got them all cut. Addie told me a few weeks ago I was starting to look like a homeless person, so I figured I better clean up a little bit, and so we just cut it all off. So that's my summer do. So anyway, on a lighter note, how many of you have been to the eye doctor recently? You know why eye doctors live longer? Because they dilate. Addie's like, I'm so embarrassed. And then the other day I was walking past my little office area and I heard music coming out of my printer. And I figured out that it was jamming. How about we move on, okay? All right. It's okay to have fun in church, right? And I know my friends on the radio over in Opelousas and Lafayette, they're just shaking their head right now. So it's like, what is wrong with that boy? So, but anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And tonight we're going to be in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 9, if you want to move there, and then we'll move on to some other Titus chapter 2. But Titus chapter 1, and the title of my message tonight is Bible Sounds, S-O-U-N-D-S, Bible Sounds. But before we get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you for this great opportunity to be here tonight with these special people. Thank you for the crowd that came to hear your word preached. And I pray, Lord, that you might be pushed to the forefront because you are worthy of all of our honor and praise. Help us to decrease that you might increase. And all that's said and done here, Lord, I pray that somebody tonight would be under conviction. They come tonight to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And the saints might be encouraged that we all might leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you for it, and in his name we pray. Amen. You know, there's sounds all around us all the time. Sometimes there's so many sounds that we block out what we don't want to hear. Children, especially teenagers, have what's called selective hearing. My wife would accuse me at times of having selective hearing. I just heard what I wanted to hear, but we all have that at times. It has something to do with blocking out maybe what you don't want to hear. But although it seems to reoccur in some men after marriage, they say, and old age, in the book of Revelation, we're admonished to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now that means that there is a spiritual side of listening to sounds. However, tonight I want to consider yet another kind of sound. You know, I was raised in Kentucky, just a few miles north of the racehorse country around Lexington, Kentucky. And I grew up, and until we moved down here in 81, we had horses, raised horses. I tried to break a few horses that broke me. But we were into the horse culture, and they always, whenever you got around sitting around the campfire or whatever talking about horses, the term would be used that that is a sound horse. And that what that meant was that that was a healthy, fit animal. Maybe a good purchase. That was a sound horse. They also, I'm sure you've heard the term safe and sound. Every time I leave here on Sunday night and I get home, I send Artis a text and I say, home safe. Thank you. I might add home safe and sound. But we hear about safe and sound, and what that means is that it's uncorrupted, true and uncorrupted, or in good shape. So tonight we're going to talk about sound doctrine, and we'll get into that. But turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 9 through 13, and we'll start right there. Verses 9 through 13. We got it up here for you. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, saith the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, all that says is there's a bunch of folks out there that are telling you lies. And I think we can agree with that. A lot of that's going on today. When we look at doctrine and sound doctrine, doctrine is, the definition would be, a belief or a set of beliefs held and taught by a church, or sound doctrine. Our doctrine comes from, of course, God's Word. Now, most or all Baptist churches that I've been associated with have had sound doctrine, or I would not have gone there. A lot of churches, you can go on their webpage, you can read their statement of faith and see what they believe. And, you know, we believe a number of things. I believe that is direct teaching from the Bible. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke the whole thing into existence. If you can't believe the first verse in the Bible, you can't believe the rest of it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man and woman. Jesus came. He left heaven and came to earth, 100% man, 100% God. He came here and had an earthly ministry for around 33 years or so. He walked the earth, and then he was crucified, died, was buried, and then rose from the dead. That's a key issue. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. So that's good Bible doctrine. And also the fact that he's coming back again. He's going to come back for the bride, Christ. He's going to come back in the rapture. The dead in Christ will rise. And all those that have been saved, he'll take them away. And then he will come back again at his second coming. Now, oftentimes those are confused by people who don't know proper Bible doctrine. But he's coming back the second time in his second coming. It's not the rapture. And when he comes back in the rapture, he will not step foot on the earth. When he comes back in the second coming, when he sets foot on the earth, he's going to split some things wide open. He's going to clean this mess up. And so that's just the doctrine that is taught. So all of that is, that's just a handful of things that we believe. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And that is sound doctrine. But what a lot of folks are saying today is that doctrine divides people. Well, duh. Of course it divides people. If you don't want to believe the truth, we're going to have a division between you and I. Because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. It doesn't matter what you believe, that's what the Bible teaches. Actually, it doesn't matter what I believe. It's what the Bible teaches, and that settles it. So I think it's ridiculous to think that the doctrine divides. If we keep our focus on Christ, they want to focus on Christ and forget about all the doctrine, but you miss so much. You can't focus on Christ without focusing on doctrine. He's central to all teaching, and what is taught concerning him is what determines whether something is true or false doctrine. You have to believe in the biblical teachings about Jesus Christ. There's in 2 Timothy 4:3. Let me back up there a little bit, or he can probably get it on the screen before I can find it. 2 Timothy 4:3. That guy's fast. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, what does that mean, having itching ears? It means they'll open up, they'll listen to anything. And, you know, false teachers are around. There's so much of it going on today, everywhere you look. That's why we have so many different versions of the Bible. You know the difference between a translation and a version? In 2 weeks, that's what we're going to be talking about. And I've got a lot of information about that. But there's a big difference between versions and translations. We've got so many versions of the Bible today, even down to the point where we have a Queen James Version. We've talked about that. So just ridiculous stuff, because people have itchy ears and they'll listen to anything. And I want to tell you right now that I was, when I was in Bible college, we were taught to never believe the preacher. And I thought, what? Never believe the preacher. Never take for granted that what is coming out of his mouth is true and something for you to live by. If you ever, ever have a moment where there's something that doesn't quite hit right, doesn't sound right, you're not real sure about, you might have a question about, well, prove it. Go to that person and say, look, help me out with this. This is contrary to what maybe I thought or maybe what I taught. Don't just take the words out of somebody's mouth as truth, because we're all human. Okay? And I would never want to throw Jeffology at you. What comes out of my mouth, I want to be coming from Scripture. I want what comes out of my mouth to have a possibility of leading somebody to Christ. But never take for granted what comes out of somebody's mouth as Bible truth. It may not be. So if you ever have a time where it just doesn't hit right, go to that person. And if he puffs up and acts like, well, who are you to question me? He's the wrong person. All right? You can question anything. I say, if I don't have the answer, we'll get the answer. We'll find the answer together and clear that up. Because I would never want to say anything. I remember just a couple of years ago, and I don't remember exactly what the word was or what I said, but I teach Sunday school, and I have taught Sunday school with folks that have been saved a lot longer than I am or older than I am. And sometimes when they raise their hand, I just kind of cringe. Especially those old ladies that have been in church about 75 years and read their Bible 4 times a day. When they raise their hand with a question, I just kind of cringe. But they're sweet folks. And after Sunday school one day, this gentleman came up to me and he said, we need to talk. And I was like, uh-oh. So we need to talk. And he brought something up to me that I said. Now, it wasn't totally contrary to what the Bible said, but it could have given the impression, the wrong impression about what was said. So I thanked him and I said, I'm going to spend some time this week and I'm going to go over all that and we'll talk about it next week. So next week, I got up and apologized for what I said and corrected it in a manner in which it would not lead to confusion. And that's the way it ought to be. We need to be held accountable. We all need to be held accountable for what we're saying. If you go out here and you're witnessing to folks and you throw false doctrine at them, like some folks do, you throw false doctrine at them and they believe something that's not biblical, they believe something that's a lie, you're held accountable for that. So we need to be held accountable. So true doctrine. Paul wrote that the time would come when many would not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itchy ears. We see that clearly today. Many people are looking for a social club rather than a church where the Bible is taught and preached. Recently heard of a local minister say that he taught his people that heaven was an inclusive community where everyone is invited. Where did that come from? Heaven is an exclusive community. You only get there one way. If there's any other idea how to get there, it winds up being Jesus plus. Jesus plus works. Jesus plus tongues. Jesus plus giving. Jesus plus this. Jesus plus that. Is that not giving a great disservice to Jesus and all he did when we think that we have to add something to that to be saved? All we need is Jesus. We don't need anything else. So there's a lot of TV and radio preachers that don't want anybody to question or challenge the accuracy of their teaching. They just think that what comes out of their mouth is, that's it, that's the rule, that's the word, just believe what I say. Any man who says that no one has a right to question his teaching is a false prophet. And we don't need to be near them at all. Recently I had a person tell me that they were in church, a big church in Lafayette. They were in church and had been going there for a while. And from what I know of this place, it's a big organization. They've got about 10 campuses around the Lafayette area, a lot of people. And all of a sudden, towards the end of the preacher's message, they always preach a pretty good biblical message, and towards the end of his sermon, he started running around on the platform and jumping down off the steps and hollering and speaking in tongues and went on for about 20 minutes. And they asked me, like, it was such a shock. It's like, what should we have done? And I said, run. Run. Get out of there as fast as you can and don't go back. That's not biblical. What? That draws attention to who? Does it draw attention to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? No, it draws attention to that man. And then they'll go on to teach you that if you don't do that, there's a chance you're not saved if you don't do that. That you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit manifested by speaking in tongues. I believe that's heresy. So a certain individual written a book one time challenging Paul Crouch. You know Paul Crouch? The founder of TBN. Him and his wife with the big bouffant pink hairdos and all that stuff. Not slamming her in any way, but that's how you could recognize her. And they started TBN. They had a very large following. And this individual challenged his teachings on Trinity Broadcasting Network. And he was told to, he wrote a book about it, and he was told by that organization to take his book and go straight to hell. Just because he challenged that teaching. What would be wrong with challenging that teaching? I'm like, come on. Challenge something that I say. If I'm wrong, I want to admit that I was wrong and I want to correct that and we can move on. But when somebody challenges you and you puff up, we got a problem there. So it's all about accountability. So test the preacher. Involved in accountability. Too many self-proclaimed prophets are putting their word above or on the same level as God's word. That's blasphemous, Jesus said. Search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. That's John 5:39. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking to the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. We need to test it. The second thing is not only sound doctrine, but sound faith. Titus chapter 1, verse 13. Says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Sound doctrine leads to sound faith. If you know the truth, you can lean on that. True faith is dependent upon true doctrine. Faith is an expression of what you believe. What you believe is determined by what you are taught. Remember, we're talking about don't take things out of a person's mouth for granted, because you may be being taught the wrong thing. Don't take that for granted. What you believe is determined by what you are taught. If the doctrine is wrong, then the faith will often be wrong also. And false doctrine is anything that's contrary to God's word. We talked about Jesus plus something else. If you ever talk to somebody about salvation being Jesus plus something else, it's wrong. It's not biblical. It's just wrong. I used to work with a guy named Tom in the safety department at the nuclear plant. I worked with him for over a year. And he was just, he grew up and he was just big on the fact that you had to be baptized to be saved. You probably know what church he went to. But you had to be baptized to be saved. And I would come by and I'd say, well, Tom, what about the thief on the cross next to Jesus? He had realized the fact that this was truly the Son of God. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. They didn't take him down to baptize him. Oh, well, that was an exception. There are no exceptions. Okay? We don't have any exceptions. But if it's Jesus plus baptism, then what's the point? Why did Jesus do all he did? All Jesus had to do was say, all you got to do is believe in me and get baptized, and he wouldn't have had to gone through all that. So sound faith is important. If the doctrine is wrong, then the faith will often be wrong also. Works equals faith in works. So, are those people, are they truly saved? Are they lost? I believe they're confused. I believe they've been taught wrongly. Only two people know whether they're saved or not, them and God. Only two people know whether you're saved or not, you and God. So I'm not the one to judge that. But we talked about that. We went back and forth, round and round, for over a year. And finally I said, well, Tom, you know what I believe, and I believe what the Bible says, and I don't see that in the Bible. And I guess we just have to agree to disagree. And he said, well, yeah, I guess we do. And I kind of half jokingly said, I just hate that you live the rest of your life being wrong. And I said, now, I say that not boasting, but I say that biblically. I believe that you're wrong because it's only Jesus. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets there. No one gets to the Father unless you go through me. And that's paraphrasing, but you know what I'm talking about. So we just agreed to disagree, and then we were still friends. We worked together every day, and life went on. But if the doctrine teaches that salvation is dependent upon man's works, then that man's faith is not in God alone, but in God plus himself. There is none other name whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus. Now, when we talk about works, somebody asked me the other day when Jesus was coming back. And I said, well, I don't know. And the question came up, well, how come we don't know? How come he doesn't tell us? How come the Bible doesn't tell us when Jesus is coming back? And in all actuality, the Bible teaches us that Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. And if you realize that there's something that Jesus doesn't know, that's it. He doesn't know when he's coming back. He's sitting right there next to God the Father. And God the Father is going to turn to him and say, son, go get my children. Then Jesus will know that it's time. But how come we don't know when Jesus is coming back? Why doesn't God want us to know when Jesus is coming back? Because we do everything we could think of to satisfy ourselves up until the 11th hour, and then we'd get it right. We'd live for the devil. We'd do everything we could think of right up to the last minute, and then we'd get it right. Right? I think we would. So, it can't be anything else but salvation through Jesus Christ alone. None other name whereby we must be saved. And faith that isn't genuine is hypocrisy. You know, notice that I didn't use the word sincere. Faith that isn't sincere is hypocrisy. A faith that isn't genuine is hypocrisy. There's a lot of sincere people out there. They're sincere in what they believe. There's people that'll walk your neighborhood, knock on your door, and try to hand you a little book. They're as sincere as they can be. They know enough scripture to get you confused about what you believe. That's why we need to study to show ourselves approved and be ready to give an account of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. So it's not about being sincere. If it's not genuine, then it's hypocrisy. There are many people who are very sincere in what they believe, but they're sincerely wrong. I ran into a lot of those, just like my buddy. Got to be baptized to be saved. He was sincerely wrong, is my opinion. Based on what's taught in the Bible, he is sincerely wrong. It doesn't matter, you know, not just because I believe that. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. So, just as God's Word is the measuring rod, and I like the term benchmark, God's Word is the measuring rod or the benchmark for what is sound doctrine, it's also the measuring rod for what is sound faith. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith, we can develop sound faith when we're taught and learn and know sound doctrine. Sound doctrine leads to sound faith. Then in verse 13 it talks about sharp rebuke is necessary. Who is responsible for promoting sound doctrine and sound faith? Who's responsible for sound doctrine and sound faith? That's the local church. If this church teaches false doctrine, then you won't have sound faith. You'll have false faith because people will be believing in the wrong thing. So the local church is responsible for sound doctrine and sound faith. Who is responsible for the great amount of confusion and false teaching that is going on? If the church is responsible for sound doctrine, who's responsible for the false teaching? The church. The local church. You can find churches around the country, mega churches, 25, 30,000 and beyond. And I would venture to say right now, based on what I know and what the Bible teaches, that they're not involved in sound doctrine. They're involved in telling people what they want to hear. We had a discussion this morning about that people nowadays, they want a religion without morals. They want a religion without standards. That's why America is billed as a quote-unquote Christian nation. Do you think America is a Christian nation? America is a knowing God or believing in God nation. That's what I get out of it. Because if America was a Christian nation, and it's about, I think 85% of the people in America claim to be Christians, but I think 85% of the people in America believe in God. Because 85% of the population of the United States of America are not Bible-believing, born-again Christians believing in Jesus Christ only for their salvation. Would you agree? We'd have a different world if they were. It would be a total different world. So sharp rebuke is necessary. The local church is responsible for sound faith. It's also responsible for false teaching. It's the local church. We've refused to speak out for fear of being called judgmental. But God has instructed us to rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Test it. Prove it. Be sound in the faith. I think the problems in the church are only beginning. When we hold on to and continue to preach and teach Bible doctrine, we're going to offend some folks. We've got some movement, different types of movement going around the country, and we're going to offend some folks. And they're gaining in their ranks to where they can cause us a lot of problems. So what happens when we say that you're welcome to come into church, but we don't welcome the sinful life that you're involved in? If you have any idea what I'm talking about. Then what happens? Well, they go out here and they stir up a big stir and they say, well, that church up there, they won't accept us because of our lifestyle. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. So what's it going to come to in the future when we're called to stand up for Christ? You remember the Columbine shooting a few years ago in Texas where the kid went in there and he shot a bunch of students, killed a bunch of students? The shooter went in, he had a bunch of them in the room, and he went up to this young lady, and he had a pistol in his hand, and he said, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I am. Shot her dead. Then he looked at the second person, and he said, are you a Christian? The first one didn't know what was coming. The second one knew what was coming. And what did the second person say? Yes, I am. And he shot that person also. That's faith. That's standing up for God. I wonder if we would be that strong in a time of persecution where we would stand up knowing what's coming, knowing exactly what's coming in the next second. We know what's coming. It's going to hurt. I could die. But am I going to stand up for Christ when that happens? Our Sunday school lesson this morning was about Peter. Peter was trusting in himself to be faithful to God. He stood right there and looked Jesus Christ right in the face and said, Lord, I will never leave you. I'll never deny you. I am with you till the end. And what did Jesus say? Before the sun comes up, not only will you deny me, but you're going to deny me three times. And what's Peter thinking? Oh, no way. No way. And what did he do? He was out there by the fire warming himself. And the folks around the fire said, you look like one of them. You kind of dress like them. Are you one of them Christians? Oh, no, no. We think you've been hanging around with that Jesus fella. Is that true? Oh, no, I don't know him. And he denied him three times. Just a short period of time after Jesus looked him in the face and told him what was going on, he denied him. So I wonder where we're going to be if we ever get put to that test. How we're going to stand. I hope that we would have enough faith to take a stand. Because it may come to that. All the stuff that's going on in Ukraine, and we really need to pray for those people in Ukraine. There's a number of organizations that I'm familiar with and have friends involved in it that they're going over there, global response teams, and bunch of them, they're going over there to Poland to try to help with the relief efforts and sending a lot of money and supplies and different things over there. But that's on the other side of the world, right? And that's distant from us. And we're not really, can't really associate with that. But if I told you tonight that Russia is only 88 miles from the U.S. border, could it happen? Very well could. And I'm appalled at the fact that the free world sits back and watches Russia destroy the western part of Ukraine, reduce it to rubble. And we stood back in fear of one man who has a nuclear device. We don't want to get involved. That could start another war. Well, maybe we need another war to get rid of him. Lives be lost? Yeah, lives would be lost. But we stand back and we watch that part of their country destroyed and families displaced and lives lost and watch a man bomb maternity hospitals and schools and orphanages and kill women and children and innocent people, and we just stand back and watch. Oh, we'll do some more sanctions. We won't let them use their MasterCard or their Visa. No more Starbucks in Moscow while they're bombing the Ukraine and blowing that place apart. What's that got to do with sound doctrine? I think if we believe in sound doctrine, we'd take a stand. So, continue to pray for those folks. It's a horrible situation. So, if sound doctrine leads to sound faith, we must stand for the truth no matter what the cost. God holds us accountable to defend the truth. We are to be soldiers for Christ. That's why we were equipped with armor, because we're in a battle. We've all heard messages on that and what the Bible teaches about. Suit up. Get your armor on. We are in a battle. We're in spiritual warfare. Satan's out there roaming around like a lion to see who he might devour. So, suit up. We're in a battle. So sound doctrine, at least a sound faith, which will lead to sound speech. Now, I think this is important. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy 1:13. It says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Hold fast the form of sound words. We've all heard as kids, or we were taught, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words hurt. Words really hurt. And people are listening to us. They're listening to you. You may not know it, but there are people listening to you. And what comes out of your mouth? If you're involved in sound doctrine and sound faith, then certain sound speech should come out of our mouth. Sound words, speech, conversation, these have to do with our behavior. If you want to really know a person, just watch how he acts and listen to the things he says. You young ladies, if you're looking for a husband, just look at how he treats his mother. That's how he'll treat you. Vice versa. Okay? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in here comes out our mouth. What we're taught and we hold dear to ourselves and is in our heart, that's what comes out of our mouth. The example of religious leaders, you remember, if I had shot a few names here, Jim Baker or Jimmy Swaggart. People condemned them for their unsound behavior, but it was their unsound doctrine and their unsound faith that led to what they did and the things that came out of their mouth. Baker stole millions and millions of dollars from church followers who believed in him and invested in him because he was saying things to them to convince them to give him all their money. And we can go on, and there are other people. I'm not singling them out. But the point is that unsound doctrine led to unsound faith that made them to do things, including unsound speech. So when we line all this stuff up, they're just not men who went wrong morally. These were men who went wrong doctrinally before any of that stuff ever happened. And folks, that could happen to us tomorrow. Whenever I hear that somebody fell or stumbled or something happened to a friend of mine or a Christian brother of mine, you know what I do the first thing? Before I pray for them, I thank God that it didn't happen to me. It could happen to any of us at any moment. We're that vulnerable. We're that weak. It could happen to any of us at any time. Thank God it didn't happen to me. But God, pray for my brother. Let me help him. Let me be an encouragement. Let me do what I can do to help that person, no matter what they did. I think I've mentioned before, we have a bad habit in churches today to shoot our wounded. Somebody goes down, we just shoot them and kick them out of the way. Shoot them, leave them for dead. That's the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Somebody stumbles, we ought to be there to try to catch them before they hit the ground. And if they hit the ground, we need to be over there to try to help pick them up. That's what sound doctrine does. That's what sound faith does. That's what encourages sound speech. It says that we've seen too many folks who go to church on Sunday in their best dressed and on their best behavior. But what the world needs to see is people who are sound in doctrine, sound in faith, and sound in speech. Are we Christians on Monday like we are on Sunday? And I don't know about you, but I need to go to church on Wednesday. I need to go to church on Wednesday to get a couple days of the world washed off of me so I can make it the rest of the week before I can get back to church again. That's what it's all about. So sound doctrine means that the teaching of this book, sound faith means believing the message of this book, and sound behavior is living by the principles of this book. So is that where we are today? So, if we're not, we need a checkup. We need to get that right. I believe that this church has always held to sound doctrine. And it's produced sound faith in a lot of folks. And it's produced sound speech as a result of all that over many, many years. We came here first in 1981, and I don't know how long the church had been here before that, but this church has been here a long time. And it's held up by pillars like you folks. Some of you folks were here when I came here in 1981, or 82, and you're to be commended for that. But we need to hold on to that. Continue to preach sound doctrine. Continue to produce sound faith so that we might have sound behavior and sound speech out there, and others can see Christ in us, that we can live like people of the book. So where are we today? The only salvation that is worth anything is the salvation we have in Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary. That's good doctrine. Do you know Jesus today? If not, you need to come and let us introduce you to the Savior. As I said earlier, only two people know if you're saved or not, you and God. And it's a pity that a person would leave out of here or turn that radio off without knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So whatever you need, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to pray. The altar is open. That's what the altar is here for. If you've got business with God, whatever that might be, now's the time to do it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. That they would talk to someone, they would do something before they pillow their head, that they can have the peace that passeth all understanding. And know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. Bless this time of invitation. If people have business with God, now is the time to do it. We thank you for our time together. Just lead us and guide us and forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.